gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes in advance for the Stephanie Miller Show today, as I am suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
From what?
Due to spending my vacation in the Deep South with my Republican relatives.
Oh, dear.
We'll get to that in a moment. In the meantime, people across the country, kids, will gather on April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. Learn more about events in your community at www.aprildayofaction.com.
Yes.
Check it out. Solidarity! I got to speak to the Boilermakers Union in D.C. while I was on vacation.
Did they make
salt of the earth. Fine folks.
Did they make some boilers for you?
Not that kind of Boilermaker.
Oh, okay.
It's an actual boiler, like in a ship,
right,
or a thing.
That's what,
or a place.
That's what I was asking.
Oh, I thought you meant the drink Boilermaker.
Well,
no, that's entirely different.
I naturally assumed that you had Boilermakers with them.
I told them that I grew up in Lockport, New York, which was built by Harrison Radiator. I'm like, Radiator? Like a boiler? Yes? No? Help me out.
Kinda.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Not really, idiot. Chris!
What?
I then went to Charlotte, North Carolina, where, as you know, my 88-year-old Republican mother and my Republican brother, who hung me when I was a child, live.
Yes.
And I think it's important to mention at this point that my mom's bird masturbates to Fox News.
Yeah.
Now, in all fairness, I had been warned about this because if anything could be compared to your 88-year-old Republican mother who raised you Catholic, explaining to you how her bird masturbates, I don't know what's more disturbing. She sort of did what he does with his arms, except she had trouble with the word. She's like, oh, Steffi, what's the word? Masturbate. I was wow, this is going to be years of therapy now. And as I previously said, my mom, at her age, she sits very, if she were any closer to Glenn Beck, it would be Poltergeist. She would be in the TV spooning with Glenn Beck. So the Fox News on all the time. And the bird, Lovebird, it's a lovebird named Pretty Boy.
Huh.
And because you know what? Many people have asked me, how? How does a bird masturbate? Because you think, oh, no hands, no opposable thumbs.
Right.
Well, let me explain. He has a colorful chain, a colorful sort of rubber. You know, they have lots of sort of colorful bird toys in there. And so he has a chain that he sits on. It's a, what's a, like a rubber chain. It's a perch, you know, it's like a...
A perch, yes.
Yeah, it's a...
That's a chain.
Oh, it's also the chain that he regurgitates his food on and then eats it again. And by the way, the cage right next to the dinner table, so that's already... Uh-huh.
Well, Bert.
And so, anyway, what happens is he sort of gets going on the chain. I'm doing it. If you're watching Ustream, so you can see, he does this. He rocks into the thing with his, you know, he pushes his little, you know, into the chain. It's not a chain. It's a rubber thing. Whatever. Anyway, he just starts... And then he does this thing. Now, you'll have to be on Ustream to see. He raises his little, what are they, wings above his head and goes, and then kind of just lays on the chain exhausted. To Fox News. So, I've just come from a world, Chris, by the way, discussing politics wherein Ann Coulter is cute and funny.
Yeah.
Michelle Malkin's brilliant. And
oh.
I...
Stephanie Miller.
Emma, I've gotten too partisan and mean. I'm not funny anymore.
You're a disgrace.
Yes, that's the world that I've just that I've come from.
Huh.
And so, how was your vacation?
Oh, it was fine. It was fine. I did a lot of relaxing, which I needed
Screw
to do.
Screw you.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that on the air?
Sorry.
Do you see what I brought with me, you streamers? Look, it's my Harris Teeter. It's my Harris
Your
Teeter.
Your camera is frozen at this moment.
Oh,
so, yeah.
It's my receipt from Harris Teeter, because what was my first trip upon arriving at my Republican mother's?
To go to Harris Teeter for wine.
To get some booze. Just when I thought things might get better, do you see what it says here? I highlighted it. It says cashier has bypassed the age validation. So yeah. I didn't even get this.
No.
Normally they give me a pity carding.
No.
Yeah.
No.
She just looked at me and said, yeah. All right. Oh, by the way, I did get lost once, because I always get lost, and then I just go door-to-door and ask everybody if they're my mommy, and I just, until someone says, yes, I am. Anyway, I got lost, and
in Charlotte.
And I went to the friendly neighborhood fire station, and I said, I'm from L.A., and I lost my mommy, can you help me? And I said, it's by the Harris Teeter. And she goes, which one? There's like three. There's one on every block in the South. I'm like, oh, I don't. She was kind of hot. Thought I'd make a little action of my mom's. Okay. Let's. All right.
Oh my God.
So I apologize for anything that might come out of my mouth today. All right. Let's dive into the live right-wing world, shall we, with our good friend, Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
I apologize for that little story, Eric.
That was the strangest intro I've ever had.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, people think I'm kidding. No, seriously, my mom's bird. Eric, seriously, I'll send you a picture. Okay.
Don't you dare.
Oh, by the way, Eric, it's a world where apparently Sarah Palin is the most qualified candidate we've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you write a great piece about Sarah Palin this week. Yeah, it's this media bias thing that she keeps repeating. And then she used as examples they were biased against Abraham Lincoln and Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Well, you know, she went on Hannity, I think, last week, and she sort of announced she was no longer going to critique the press. It was a waste of time, and everyone was dumbfounded.
Oh, I'm relieved.
That's basically her calling in life. I mean, that's what she does, is play the victim and lash out at the lamestream media. And so then she went to Facebook, of course, to sort of flesh out her thoughts. And she used the jumping off point that, of course, the press is biased. Of course, there's a liberal media. And just to quickly prove her point, she noted that Abraham Lincoln was occasionally mocked and ridiculed in the press 150 years ago.
Yes.
And that Ronald Reagan got bad press, but she noted, but he was still able to win two landslide victories. So, A, what Abraham Lincoln has to do with today's liberal media, I'm not quite sure. And as I pointed out, every president who's ever been elected has been mocked and ridiculed in the press at some point. And Ronald Reagan won those two landslides because...
So she torpedoed her own argument, right.
He got glowing press coverage for years and years.
Yeah.
And there's a great book called On Bended Knee that details all that.
Yeah.
So she's...
Well, and also Lincoln, probably not the same rapid response in those days. You had to go get an inkwell and some parchment and a pen to write anything bad about him. So probably...
And there was something called the Civil War going on, so feelings were running high.
Yes. And then once again, we've talked about this over and over, but you write, as Palin falls in the polls, National Journal claims she's on the rise. A new CNN poll shows among Republicans and Republican-leaning voters, only 12% want her to be the party's presidential nominee.
Which puts her in a statistical tie with the Donald.
Yes.
So, I mean, she's gone from, 8 or 10 months ago, the superstar status, to now being tied with a TV host.
Well, I was going to say she's neck and neck with the other reality TV star, so, you know.
But National Journal, which is sort of a big deal inside the Beltway, they did their they might even be weekly or monthly roundup of potential Republican candidates and where they stand, and they announced that Sarah Palin was on the rise. And you're like, her polling numbers can't get any lower, but folks within the Beltway are still clinging to this belief that she has a legitimate chance.
Because it's a story. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, this is the worst news for my Republican mom, but Glenn Beck, my sibling. What? she defends him more than me, I'll have you know.
Great.
Eric, this is my life. Oh, you remember the last time I got on Glenn's his crazy website and I got all these death threats?
Yeah, the Blaze. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was my fault, Eric, because apparently I've gotten too serious and not funny. So I think if one of his crazy fans shot me, but not killed, just winged me, my mom would still defend him. Oh, well, she had it coming. She's just not funny. That'll wake her up.
Yeah.
So they must
I don't know that my mom would say that. I'm just saying.
They must be terrified, this notion that he might not be back at Fox next year.
Well, I was just going to say, this is the worst news. My mother, if I get fired, who cares?
Yeah.
But if Glenn Beck, you have the keeping a score of the Beck/Fox News media breakup. Do tell.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, this started a couple of weeks ago. The New York Times reported, Fox might be preparing for life without Glenn Beck, because I think he's a pain in the neck for the channel, and there are folks inside the newsroom who think he's an embarrassment, and also, they basically can't find advertisers to fill his time slot. So then Glenn Beck's team answered in the Times last week that, oh, well, maybe he'll just leave and start his own news channel. And by the way, he's going to poach this, you know, this bigwig Fox News executive.
Yep.
And then the Fox News team responded in the press saying, oh, you know, that guy, nobody cares about that guy anyway. You know, Roger Ailes doesn't even like him. So there's this great sniping going back and forth that's very amusing to watch as the Beck camp and the Fox News PR camp sort of square off and try to prepare for this post Glenn Beck world and try to determine the winner and the loser in the whole thing.
Eric, can my mom buy advertising? Because I think I'm sure she would part with whatever's left of my inheritance in order to keep Glenn Beck on the air. Anyway, you're right. He's lost 30% of total viewership, nearly 40% of the 25-54 demo, and advertisers, 400, closing in on 400 advertisers that are boycotting, correct?
Yeah, and he was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and Judge Napolitano filled in, and basically the ratings for 5 o'clock were the same. So if you're Fox News and you're looking at the books and you're saying, okay, he's getting you know, decent ratings, he's getting good ratings in terms of cable news, even though he's lost a big chunk from his high, why not go with a host who might not scare away every conceivable blue-chip advertiser in America?
Yep.
I mean, they're not monetizing the show. They have this symbolic hollow victory, but Rupert Murdoch traditionally is not in the business of symbolic hollow victories.
You know who else that happened to, Chris?
Who?
Bill O'Reilly in radio.
Yeah.
Just, ratings weren't really... Show wasn't monetizing, as they say, Eric, from what they were paying him and the ratings he was getting on the radio.
No.
Here's a fun fact for you. Al Franken used to routinely beat him in many markets in radio. But I'd like to know that. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world quickly, because I got to give you a, you know what, Republicans, irony deficient, Eric. This is too good. I have to give you an appetizer. You've been so good. Donald Rumsfeld on ABC's This Week, wait for it, this is why Obama's Libya policy is confusing.
If you go into something with a confusion and ambiguity about what the mission is, and we've heard four or five different explanations about why we're there, and that is the root of the problem, is the confusion that comes from that. Confusion about what the mission is, confusion about who the rebels are, confusion about whether or not Gaddafi should be left in power. Confusion about what the command and control should be.
Wow.
Without any apparent sense of irony, Eric.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's no one sitting in the production meeting or even sitting in the control room while Rumsfeld saying this thing. Wow, that's kind of funny. I mean, it's like an SNL skit. Let's have Donald Rumsfeld in to explain confused foreign policy initiatives and military actions.
Do they not have montage makers like we do, Chris? Could they not play a montage of the cavalcade of reasons we were in Iraq? All right. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar while we continue Right Wing World. 20 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert rejoins us for Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream, I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Rude Pundit coming up after the bottom of the hour. Eric Bollert rejoins us from Media Matters for America. By the way, Eric...
Yeah.
I was able to wrest a promise from my Republican brother that he will read Blinded by the Right.
Oh, good for him.
The fabulous David Brock book. All right, they've gone all birther on our ass, Eric. Sean Hannity.
Donald Trump brought up the issue of the birth certificate, and it's gotten huge buzz around the country. Why can't they just release the birth certificate, and just move on?
Wow.
Just move on. I love that part.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're on what, year three? I love the right-wing spin on this, the whole Trump thing has been fascinating because apparently Donald Trump is now the voice of the common man.
Yes.
So if he talks about birtherism, it's creating a buzz and the tide has turned and we're all birthers now because Donald Trump is talking, is gibbering, gibberish about it. So it's kind of, I mean, they're so desperate. But in a way, the return of birtherism is completely inevitable.
Yep.
Because there's nothing else left on the shelf for them to use.
Yep. Exactly. And leave it to Steve Ducey to toddle along behind Sean.
We should also point out that the campaign did produce before the election something called a certificate of live birth, which is
something.
Not the exact birth certificate, but something that the state says indicates that he was born.
The state says.
Yeah, what do they know?
You know, that thing that documents births in the region, the state. But, I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, talk about fighting the last war. I mean, if people didn't think Obama was born in the United States, if they thought he was foreign and not like you and me, they wouldn't have elected him to electoral landslide, in 2008.
Right.
I mean, it's fascinating. And you know, for my own selfish reasons, I want them to just delve into this more and more. Because, it's just not going anywhere. But they're obsessed with, again, fighting the last war.
Yes, exactly. All right. Wow, they finally found a war they don't like on the right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh.
NATO was North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
I
think they ought to rename it the North Africa Terrorism Alliance or some such thing.
Because
it's... It has the way it's being used here is irrelevant to its charter. North Atlantic Treaty Organization, now the North Africa Terrorism Alliance, is what this appears to be.
I don't really even know what that means.
But what's been fascinating is, you know, there's two knee-jerk reactions that are fighting each other. The first knee-jerk reaction on the right is, we're bombing a Muslim country. What could be better? And then the second knee-jerk reaction is, oh, it's Obama. What could be worse?
Yeah, for humanitarian reasons and Obama's doing it? That's French and gay. That's not the right kind of bombing.
Right, no, I know. It's the wrong kind. So they end up sort of kicking themselves, and they can't. It's sort of funny to watch. They're wrestling with reasons for not to like something that on paper they should be, having parades to celebrate.
Exactly. Now pay attention, Eric, because as you know, my mom says Michelle Malkin is brilliant.
This administration has no core governing principles. It used to be that the Obama administration promised that it was going to restore America's place in the world. It's hard to do that when you're all over the bloody map. And that's where we've been with this Libya policy. Appeasement, aggression, one day, and vacillation the next. It's a foreign policy by Ouija board, and it certainly isn't gaining us any respect around the globe.
She is brilliant and clever.
She is.
What's
funny is, again, just trying to latch on to something, some reason to dislike it. And what's also interesting, you just fill in the blank. Take out Libya, put in Obama's response to Japan or healthcare reform or anything. And the response is exactly the same, and it's over and over, and it's rarely about policy. It's usually more theater criticism. Obama isn't saying the right thing, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we were just following Newt Gingrich's advice.
We ought to have enough lines on. What the hell's he doing, frankly? I don't,
All right. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual. See you next week, sir.
Okay.
All right, there you go. He's already in Cleveland off the phone. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, the Ruth Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Would you like to have some dinner with our family?
Nah, I can't. I got a wicked bruise on the back of my throat.
What?
It is the Stephanie Miller
that
Show.
That was rude.
Listen, I didn't even get to have my three-way with Randy Rhodes, for God's sakes, to steal me from my trip to my Republican relatives. Send Randy a note. Her dog Simon passed away last week, and we've been emailing back and forth, and anyone that's been through it knows what she's going through. And she just moved to Florida. She's under tremendous stress. Send her a note and tell her you love her.
Aww.
And then tell her it's 34 after. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's money.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
It's that guy from the podcast, Cheater and Rude.
That's Cheater me. And the Rude.
The Rude.
Cheater and the Rude.
From the makers of Turner and Hooch.
Or, no, BJ and the Bear.
Oh.
Which is really the most uncomfortably named show, if you think about it.
Yes.
True. True. And also the new book, Rude Pundit's Almanac.
Available from orbooks.com.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, and I believe you can learn why all of the Republican presidential candidates are big bags of...
Yes, you can.
And that's the F word, not the... Because, I don't know, he just uses weird weird uses of swear words. All right, go ahead, rudeness.
No, it's the book has profiles of a dozen potential Republican presidential candidates.
Yes.
Yes.
Each and every one of them is so very special. Now, Rude, I was mentioning I got to speak to one of the fine unions, the Boilermakers Union in Washington last week. And, you know, you really forget. Chris was saying you haven't heard about this in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in years. And then this weekend, of course, it was all over the place. You wrote about this.
Yeah. It was the 100th anniversary, and I think that somehow that got connected with the uprising in Wisconsin and other states for collective bargaining rights, because the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, where 146 women died in their locked factory when a fire broke out, and in 1911, that was something that spurred on the movement for collective bargaining rights.
Right.
Actually, it was a series of there were a series of fires in factories, and that and the safety of workers actually became an issue, believe it or not.
Can I ask a dumb question? Why did they lock the doors in the first place? I mean, that was obviously the horror of this, is they could have gotten out.
Well, they locked the doors. One of the reasons was to prevent them from going on break.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because you would get penalized. You could lose an hour of your pay just to stop and take a drink of water. So it was that workers were treated like prisoners.
Yeah. And I love the, you know, you write that. I mean, it really is amazing. Harrison Black, the Triangle Company, have offered to pay 1 week's wages to the families of the dead girls.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, if you ever needed to know, like, why there needs to be unions, I mean, this is the history of it. As you say, it was the 9/11 of the labor movement, really.
Oh, and then the extra little nice thing that the corporation did, or the company did, was that they moved into new headquarters. The day after they moved in, the building department in New York went there, discovered not only was the building not fireproof, and that was the case for thousands of buildings that had factories in them, but that they had already blocked the exit to one of the fire escapes with sewing machines.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we were saying, I mean, this is why it's such an interesting time, because you're right, you know, this is back in, what, 1911, and yet look at what just happened in the mining disaster here. And,
you're right. The safety of workers always is something that needs to be guarded constantly, because if left to their own devices, the corporations will cut corners and will put workers at risk.
The, I mean, the BP oil well. I mean, you can look at what's happening in Japan. Yeah, not our country, but, I mean, a lot of these same issues where, you know, companies cutting corners to save money and you know, worker safety is last.
And it's not just that that there needs to be government regulation and there needs to be unions in order to push safety, but there needs to be regular oversight. And that was certainly one of the failures in the mining disaster, in the BP oil spill. Going back to the Triangle Shirtwaist fire, that was a failure of building inspectors because there weren't enough budgeted even back then.
Yep. Now, it's hard to, it's a full-time job, isn't it? Kind of chronicling Republican governors, either awful things they're doing or just oddities. Like in Maine, Governor Paula Page ordered the removal of a 2008 mural because it depicts the history of labor in the state of Maine. So, therefore, inappropriate, of course.
And it's just such outright douchebaggery. You know, I don't know. Can I use that word? Can I use the D word? Am I allowed?
Douchebaggery?
No. The shorter
D
word.
No.
Okay, sorry. Okay,
we get you.
I'm glad I checked.
We appreciate you checking.
Don't be it.
But that's pretty much what he is.
He's part of the mural majority.
Wow, I see what you did there. You did something with a letter.
Listen, don't start with me. I've had a long week.
I heard. You know, I masturbate to Fox News, too.
Well,
so
who doesn't?
I'm totally with your parents.
Oh,
your
it's a lovebird. Lovebird.
Lovebird.
Name the pretty boy.
Even better. Mm-hmm. The mural, the seemingly innocuous mural that was the state paid $60,000 for back in 2008. And now the Governor LePage wants to go in and take it down or have it painted over or something.
Yeah.
And I guess pay more money because it makes businesses sad to see workers standing up for their rights.
So we don't want that.
Yeah, or there's one image in it that's an image of a worker from the past passing on a sledgehammer to a worker from the future, which I guess will be used for the mural.
Yes. And I don't know if you have anything to base this on, but you say you can pretty much bet that if he had the power to do so, the Edmund Muskie Federal Building would be renamed the Suck LePage's Building.
Yeah, isn't it funny that right across the street, or right near the State House, where LePage is the Edmund Muskie Federal Building. I mean, Edmund Muskie, one of those liberal members of Congress and governors that the state ever had, and yet people don't seem to have a problem going there.
Yeah.
Let's just eliminate all liberal history. Let's just get rid of liberal history and make sure that we only hear about the winners and the rich people.
Yes, exactly. All right. So, Rude, my Republican family and I, we all kissed and made up and laughed and loved each other, and it all ended very well, and we decided we're not going to talk politics anymore. You know, a lot of families go through this.
Yes.
And then my plane hadn't even landed yet when my Republican brother had sent my sisters and I two more right-wing emails. Things about health care or whatever, and the past health care.
You know what?
That sounds like crick, but it's not.
You come from a famously political family. I don't see how you can
refer
promise
to the president as our messiah. Just you know, very inflammatory, sort of insulting thing.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, if the president's your messiah, you are the president's our president's Obama is the messiah. Is that that's what your Republican family is saying?
Yes.
Wow. But we're atheists. How can we have a messiah?
Speak for yourself. Now, but anyway, it's just that they're going insane about right away when they say Obamacare, you know, it's not going to be a reasonable discussion. But you point out, and this is a tough picture to look at, the guy that got a face transplant.
Yeah, don't click on the picture. Just
no.
Don't look at the picture.
But, I mean, it's a horrible story. But you were saying, basically, because of the health care bill, that's how he could get the face transplant.
Right. Well, the operation itself was paid for by a defense contract to look into experimental operations.
The government.
The government was paying for it, but that wasn't the health care bill. However, in order to get a face transplant, or indeed to get any transplant, you have to take drugs constantly. And in this case, it would be the rest of his life he needs to take drugs so that he doesn't reject his face. And so that he could not get insurance for because he had a pre-existing condition, which would be his face being burned off by a high voltage line when he was painting a church. And so now with the Affordable Care Act in place, he can get insurance. He can get on his father's insurance because he's 25 years old and the age was raised to 26, as well as reforms in Medicare for people with disabilities. And now he can get the drugs for the rest of his life.
Well, first of all, he's 25 because he can stay on his parents' insurance for anyway. But yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, the left should be trying to improve the act constantly until we actually get universal health care. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people in cases not nearly as extreme as Dallas Wiens who've been helped. It's at least a baby step on the road to a compassionate, sane future, which has exactly been our point. And on my side of the political divide in our family, it's, you know, you're right. I mean, liberals obviously not thrilled about the health care bill, but it is obviously, you know, a start. And it's,
there were things that were done that helped people. And yes, the trade-off for that was to give a lot more power in many ways to insurance companies, to pharmaceutical companies. However, at the end of the day, there were a ton of people that are going to get help.
Well, you know what I've found is that in the stories where people talk about, oh, this is such a nightmare, it's because these are anti-Obama, you know, people with Obama derangement syndrome that are in a lot of these businesses going, oh, well, this is going up and it's because of Obama. And it's not, that's not why, but that's what they tell their employees so that they go, oh, that damn Obama and that damn Obamacare.
Well, and they forget that they, had it not been for even the rates would have gone up even without the Affordable Care Act.
Right. A lot of it hasn't even kicked in yet. It's insurance companies being the greedy bastards they usually are and racing to raise rates before. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's what's killing me. Is that
before the regulations go into effect. And now I love the movement now to get individual waivers on needing to get health insurance. That they've allowed waivers for unions and for some businesses to have a couple of more years before they include all of the employees in health insurance, in getting health insurance. And now there's a big movement on the right to say, well, if corporations can get them, they're individuals. Aren't they people? Aren't corporations people? So people should be able to get waivers too.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that they are assaulting and trying to undermine it when what they could be doing is saying, all right, we have this, what's going to make it better? Because if they repeal it, that guy loses his face. That's what happens.
Yep.
Dallas Weans loses the face that the military just spent $1 million giving him, just because, I have to go back to that D word I can't say, but that's what Republicans want to be.
Yeah. You know, just when I think I can't ovulate anymore, Rude, you write something about women's rights. And in this case, you wrote The Never-Ending War on Women's Rights. One awesomely idiotic thing conservatives and state legislatures do is pass bills just in case happens. When it comes to abortion, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of bat. Louisiana, Illinois, Kentucky, and other states have passed laws that outlaw abortion in the event of the overturning of Roe v. Wade or the rapture, whichever happens first. Now in Arizona, state motto, it ain't crazy unless it's Arizona crazy.
Yeah.
The state's House and Senate have passed separate versions of bills that outlaw abortions based on the race or sex of the fetus or parents.
Yeah, isn't that great that there's really no statistical proof happens, but just in case we become like China, or China takes over this way, don't worry, the mighty Arizona legislature has already said that they can't have forced abortions. Although, you know,
because Sharia law would already be in effect by then, and that would probably have something to do with it.
You mean the Chinese are going to take over with Sharia law?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
That's just, you know, considering the number of Hispanics that the census show now live in Arizona, I bet if those white legislators' daughters end up fooling around with the gardening guy, that this law will be gone as quickly as possible.
Yep.
All right. His rudeness, rudepundit.blogspot. Or wait a minute, rudepundit.blogspot.com. Pardon me.
It's been
a week. I'm all discombobulated. Thank you, your rudeness. See you next week.
All righty. Bye.
All right. There we go. He's got work on a podcast, and he's a whole industry.
I know, right?
Aren't we? Totally. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay. We have our usual Monday extravaganza. Mondays with McClurg will be in hour number three today.
Yes.
We will save some Sarah Palin for her to read. People love the Sarah Palin Masterpiece Theater as acted by Edie McClurg. All right. Oh, but for now, here's the real thing. We didn't finish up Right Wing World with Eric Bowler. We ran out of time. And who doesn't want some Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
You don't need a title. You don't need an office to make a difference. I'm proof of that. So if I were to choose not to run at this stage
tempted?
In my life, yeah, I'm tempted to, because I'm still wondering who the heck is going to be out there with a servant's heart, willing to serve the American people for the right reason, not for ego, not for special interests, not with obsessive partisanship that's going to get in the way, playing
obsessive.
These games to just do what's right to get the economy back on the right track and to strengthen national security.
Sure.
I'm waiting to see who else is out there who wants to do this.
Okay, then. There she is, ladies and gentlemen, the thinking man's Michelle Bachmann. There she is.
Which is sad.
Do I sense some dissension in the Bat sisters? What do you mean there's nobody out there? Your Bat crazy friend Michelle Bachmann says she's running. Oh, it's like an All About Eve, isn't it? It's like a
I go. Am not one of your fans.
Michelle Bachmann got her law degree from Oral Roberts University,
yes.
And Bill Press said this morning that is not an accredited institution.
Really?
And not an accredited institution.
Gee, you don't see any deficit in her learning when she speaks. Yes, she, by the way, that was the breaking, I guess, Sarah Palin might have missed that. Maybe it wasn't on Facebook. Maybe Michelle Bachmann didn't tweet about it. That's why she didn't know.
Oh.
She, to form an exploratory committee in June, maybe earlier. By the way, what is that? What's the exploratory committee thing in presidential football? Is that like the note you passed in school? Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yeah.
And then send it back.
I think it's just a reason to start fundraising.
Maybe they just send that out. Maybe they just send a crumpled note. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yeah.
Maybe they put it in a cootie catcher. CNN has learned Michelle Bachmann.
I could totally see Michelle Bachmann making a cootie catcher. I could totally picture that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do like me. Okay. CNN has learned Michelle Bachmann will form a presidential exploratory committee. She will file papers for the committee in early June with an announcement likely around that same time. She could actually form the exploratory committee even earlier than June so she could participate in the early Republican debates. You know, they have the first one, the Reaganoff, is it's always at the May 2nd, actually, at the Reagan Library, where they do their little, I'm more Reagan-y. No, I'm more Reagan-y.
And yet they have no idea what Reagan actually did.
You'd be surprised to know that my mother believes everything Michael Reagan says is nothing Ron Reagan Jr. says. That game was quite a shock to me. Oh, they had some thoughts.
Does your mother know that Ronald Reagan raised taxes, eight times?
11
times.
No!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I can't share everything they said, but...
Well, that's just partisan contract.
It's not complimentary of certain people. Oh, here's my favorite one.
What?
Rachel Maddow, apparently not very smart.
Oh, Rhodes Scholar and all.
Yes, my brother would like to debate her.
Oh,
which my sisters and I would pay a lot of cash money to watch. But anyway, yes.
Okay, so Michelle...
A lot of not very kind thoughts about many of my friends and colleagues. In the business, yes.
So Rachel Maddow, Rhodes Scholar.
But the thing is, they hate me the most of everybody on the left.
Sure.
So that's the important thing.
Rachel Maddow, Rhodes Scholar, according to your mom, is not very bright yet.
No.
Michelle
Bachmann. Actually, that was according to my brother.
Oh.
She's not very smart.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann, with a law degree from Oral Roberts University.
Smartest person ever. Except for Sarah Palin.
I see. Okay. That's weird.
Except for the brilliant Michelle Malkin. Can you tell I have some issues that I'm working through from my trip home? Okay.
Michelle Malkin always looks like she's just smelled something really bad.
Yes, well, she's had quite a few unkind things to say about me, as I recall.
Yes, she has.
All right, here's my other sibling, Glenn Beck.
History is written by the winners. And we don't know how this is going to end yet. And it can really end in a slow demise, maybe over a 10-year period where things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. You know, we could all be in some Abu Ghraib being tortured and then killed because we stood against the new regime.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, who knows? Maybe it all, you know, turns around.
It works out.
And we're all, everybody in Tea Party's written down as heroes because we saved the nation.
Sure. Okay. All right. That's a... Wow, I should have tried this. I just got this story. Mark Forman arrived at the Florida home of his ex-girlfriend's mother on Tuesday, asked to use the bathroom. He then pushed the 66-year-old woman into the fold-out sofa and closed it with the woman enveloped inside.
Oh, dear.
She's okay now.
Good.
I had to sleep with my sister because, you know, you're at your mom's house and there's only the one little extra bed in the extra bedroom.
Yeah.
found out something about my sister I didn't know because I never...
Oh!
Wow! Wow! Like a truck driver! Sleep deprivation on top of Republican politics. Mmm! What a relaxing vacation. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, the things that you read on the Facebook, 6 minutes after the hour. Jim, my mom's bird masturbates to Fox News. Just thought I should mention that. And someone on my Facebook page has a bird.
Said, Elizabeth says that her bird used to use a corn cob to pleasure himself.
Mm. Ah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. I wanted to know about birds.
Yeah. It does take you a minute to go, what is he doing? He sort of, Jimmy, just kind of slams into the thing over and over again. The multicolored, I don't know what it is, rope, perch, something thing. Until he, and then he just kind of, his wings kind of feather down. And just, think about that.
Probably want a Kleenex. Probably want a Kleenex.
Yeah, I did ask my mom, is there cleanup after that? Because that's, okay.
Just swabs off on the curtains.
Perhaps.
Ew.
Mm. All right. Yeah, and then she does let the bird out. So then the bird lands on you. You have to go, ooh, is there ew? What's ew? Okay.
Hair gel.
Okay, yeah. Then.
What does bird whatever look like?
I think this is probably what gets
really
him going.
Don't want to know.
He just hears the Fox News and, whoa, okay.
And the logo gets him hot.
Mm-hmm. All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can see us,
Hey, Ustream.tv / Stephanie Miller.
Check us out here.
I know, right? Comb my hair.
Oh.
You come here every day. You look lovely.
How was your vacation, Jim Ward?
Oh, I worked at my other job. It's not relaxing.
Right.
I tried to sleep in, but I ended up waking up at 3:00 anyway.
And did you work on anything that we might be looking forward to?
A DVD. I think it's a sequel of Dark Knight, Batman.
Oh,
I did some
very cool,
fabulous.
What else? Oh, I don't remember.
Okay.
All right. My vacation, not so much. I had the best time I had. I got to speak to the Boilermakers Union in D.C., but then my three-way got canceled with Randy Rhodes and the Howard.
Did you get to
I had to spend the rest of the time in the Deep South with my Republican relatives.
Wow. And your snoring sister.
Yes, and my snory sister. Oh, boy. You're like, did you know she snored? No! I slept with her. She slept with her husband for the last 40 years. How do I know these things? I called him. I'm like, oh, I always thought you were a great brother-in-law, but I got to thank you for the love of God. You put up with this for how many years?
There wasn't like a Days Inn down the street you could have slept in?
Just to get away from the Fox News. Oh, I did my one subversive thing, Jim, in the weight room in my mom's condo thing. I kept changing the channel back to MSNBC. Uh-huh. Every time I went back, it was on Fox News.
You're lucky they had MSNBC.
Yeah, my sister said Fox News on everywhere there. Everywhere.
Oh, God.
And everywhere you go, you can hear Rush in the background, and it's great.
By the way, you don't spell NATO with two A's, Rush. You kept trying to make something fun.
Apparently,
he thinks we should be bombing Iceland, because NATO's only sphere of influence is the North Atlantic.
Right.
Because of...
Oh, here was the other thing, according to my mom and brother, apparently think I'm a hypocrite for ever criticizing Rush Limbaugh. I think I was on TV talking about him speaking pig Chinese or something.
Mm-hmm.
And because I imitate Arianna Huffington, I'm a big hypocrite. And I'm like, well, I'm imitating an actual person. I'm not making fun of all, Greek people. You see, all right, never mind.
Hmm.
Whatever.
I've had a long week. All right, here's the good news. Wow, I get back to this, Chris.
Uh-oh.
Because dreams come true here on the Stephanie Miller Show, as you know.
Often, yes.
Things much better here in my little imaginary world than in my real life.
Dreams often die here, too.
Well, they start here. Opportunities, Jim. It's the land of opportunity, the Stephanie Miller Show. You know that. Someone
sure.
With an inquiry. It's an inquiry, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Dear, because we get pitched things.
Yes.
We have remarkable opportunities to have remarkable guests.
Yes, we do.
Dear Stephanie, I was inquiring if you would be interested in interviewing 80s singer Charlene. Charlene had a top five hit with the song I've Never Been to Me.
Oh, wow.
Wow! Did you say yes?
Hey, I've not responded yet. Recently, Charlene published her autobiography entitled I've Never Been to Me.
Wow.
Documents the many obstacles she has faced over the years.
What are some of those obstacles? Do
Being
we know?
Being a horrible songwriter? No, come on.
Did she even write this song?
I don't.
Do we know?
Well, you know, I've gone on record as saying I think this is the most musically and morally horrible song ever.
We should have her on just to ask her, what were you thinking?
And what is subtle whoring? I'm not acquainted with it. I don't like my whoring subtle.
Love in the sun.
That's uncomfortable.
Making love in the sun?
Yeah.
Especially with a preacher man.
Not as bad as running naked through a rainstorm with Madonna, but still.
Yeah. Well, you'd want to do that after making love in the sun, I would think, just to try to cool off.
Now, isn't there a spoken part in here? Hang on.
Yes. Well, that comes. Are we going to play the whole thing?
Oh, boy. You didn't do your show prep today, did you?
No. All right. No, I'm still on vacation.
You know what truth is? It's that little like baby you're holding.
I like the Jerry Lewis-ness of it.
Hey, lady. Mm. Hey, hey.
Hey, lady.
Lady.
Fly.
The people in the chat room are saying that was worse than the Wild Thing loop.
Oh,
that they hear.
See? Now yeah. you're thankful for the Wild Thing loop. All right, Chris, having just traveled, what do I admire? Good Packers.
Yes.
I like a good Packer.
Sorry, what?
Now, a couple weeks ago, there was a story about all the stuff the police found up that one guy's ass. You know, he's a good Packer.
So to speak.
CBSNews.com. Cavity search produces over 50 bags of heroin, say police. Police recovered 54 bags of heroin and cash in her vagina, according according to this story. Well, she might need a little freshening up, you know, that surgery, but I'm just saying.
A little summer's eve. A little summer's eve.
That's impressive.
Huh.
54 bags of heroin.
Wow. They weren't the big hefty bags, though.
No.
No.
Right. Little dime bags.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. They sell dime bags of heroin?
No, I don't think so. It'd be very tiny.
Yeah.
All right. I get questions, you know. This one from just a curious female person. Signed, a curious female person. Steph, ever wonder why supposedly technologically advanced death and destruction devices like the Fukushima reactor core that cracked open are always shaped like giant angry penises? And if she sent a picture, and that is a giant angry penis, if you look at that. That really...
Of course, the cooling towers at San Onofre look like gigantic boobs.
Oh, that's true. It's not as frightening as Newt Gingrich's giant patriotic angry penis, which was...
Huh?
That was marauding.
Marauding the country.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the 90s.
Mm.
Okay.
Now, speaking...
Which, by the way, when they took over the Gingrich Revolution, one of the first things they did was to eviscerate the NRC.
Really?
Yeah. Really,
Hey, here's something that caught Jim and Mon's attention. Regulation. This is in the LA Times Saturday. Glitches hamper radiation warning system in California. You don't want to hear glitch in your radiation warning system headline.
No.
Well,
the federal government's radiation alert network in California is not fully functional, leaving the stretch of coast between L.A. and San Francisco without the crucial real-time warning system in the event of a nuclear emergency.
Or,
why is that important?
Or the glitches were the high radiation readings they read, and they decided, oh, that can't be right.
Oh, that
it's
can't
just a glitch.
Be right.
It's just normal. Don't worry about it.
Six of the EPA's 12 California sensors, including the three closest to Diablo Canyon, are sending... data with anomalies.
Anomalies.
As Tom Brokaw would say.
Glitches and anomalies. LA detection system.
Sending data with anomalies to the agency's laboratory. The problem delays from
anomaly
30
my
minutes.
Ass. Yeah, it's no glitch.
Oh, by the way, someone sent this one since you brought it up. Let's see. Doug says, oh boy, Governor Paul LePage of Maine.
Yeah.
We just mentioned he's part of the mural majority. He got rid of the mural because it has workers and things about labor,
the Department of Labor
stuff.
The building is named after a female labor leader.
His office cited some complaints from offended business leaders and anonymous facts declaring that the mural smacked of official brainwashing by North Korea's Kim Jong-il. It's a Kim Jong-il mural. That's why he had to get rid of it.
Right. We like Reba to be well paid and to have freedom. What? No, bullcrap! They go to the gulag if they do anything like that. You more like me than they are like me.
That's some Clazy from Maine. What's going on there?
Yeah. You can't get there from here. No, but you want to.
Hey, back to our not fully functional radiation warning system here in California. The problem delays from 30 minutes to several hours. The updating of the database that would be critical for warning the public in case of sudden radiation danger from air wafting to the U.S. from a foreign country. When would that ever happen?
By the way, read...
For example, from a radiation... or domestic nuclear thing.
Yes. Yeah.
From the boobs down in San Onofre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there are even boobs up at Diablo Canyon.
Probably, yes. I haven't seen that one, but yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, read Safe Radiation is a Lethal TMI in Three Mile Island. Live by Harvey Wasserman at nukefree.org. Oh. That's nukefree. They're both capitalized, by the way. The N and the F, let's see.
All right. I don't know why it's gotten on this. I guess I'm just in penis stack. Let's see. Someone has sent me...
what?
Sightless Global Penis Sizes. It's all the buzz on the interwebs. Haven't you been on? An online site that lists the global penis sizes has become an internet sensation. The Congo, ladies and gentlemen, number one. The Congo.
It must be the Belgians. I'm sure it's the Belgians.
Yeah, it's totally the Belgians. Yeah.
Second, Ecuador. Ghana, number is next. For YouTube, sad news. The USA, number 98. Global penis size.
Well, that's probably all the estrogen in the plastic bottles. Turning us into chicks.
Because they don't have that in the Congo. 19 minutes after the hour, right back with all the latest on Libya, the president's big speech tonight, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sue in Rockville. Hello, Sue.
Hey, welcome back, Steph and Mookie.
Thank you.
We missed you guys. We love Hal, but we missed you guys.
Missed you, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, because first of all, the people who suffer from Stephanie derangement syndrome are always highly entertaining, and listening about your family just always is wonderful.
I feel like I'm back with my real family now. All right, go ahead.
But Jim, you have to understand, the reason there's such an influence of North Korea art in Maine is that the population of Maine is 1/10 of 1% Korean.
Ah, there you go.
So, they would exert this enormous influence, and we don't know how many of them are North Korean versus South Korean, but very clearly Kim Jong-il has made strong inroads, and that's why the mural is clearly supportive of North Korean policy.
Exactly.
They're obviously
exactly.
all North Korean spies.
Exactly. All right. You know, Jim, have we mentioned before that the right wing, a little irony deficient.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese and crackers. Did you hear what Rumsfeld said about Libya?
If you go into something with a confusion and ambiguity about what the mission is, and we've heard four or five different explanations about why we're there, and that is the root of the problem, is the confusion that comes from that. Confusion about what the mission is, confusion about who the rebels are, confusion about whether or not Gaddafi
so
should
familiar.
Be left in power. Confusion about what the command and control should be.
Confusion about where the weapons of mass destruction are. North, west, south, east, north, northeast, southwest.
We know where they are.
What he knows that they may not know, and make sure he knows what they know that he may not know.
How long is it going to take? 6 weeks? I don't know. 6 months?
There was
Six
no
days?
Confusion there. We knew what we didn't know. We thought we knew we didn't know that we didn't have to know that we didn't know.
Will they get
you know?
There? Sure.
You bet.
Is it going to be as efficient as a dictatorship?
No.
No. Is it going to be vastly more desirable? You bet.
You bet. Let's review. Let's see. First, there was the weapons of mass destruction that we didn't want to end in a mushroom cloud.
Right.
Remember that whole with Saddam Hussein? That was the first thing. And then what was the second? I don't even remember. I can't remember. Keep track of the shifting reasons. Then it was
oil. Was, did they ever say it was oil?
Well,
regime change.
Originally it was called Operation Iraqi Liberation, which is a little too obvious. So they had to,
yes.
Yeah. The messaging was a little off there.
And then it was freedom. You remember the fiery freedom. It was about the bringing of the
fires
freedom.
Of freedom.
Yes, the fiery kind. And then
that is the force of human freedom. Freedom in all the world. Freedom, yes. Freedom's cause. Free dissent.
That was about six or seven reasons down.
Freedom from your lives. We're going to liberate you from your bodies.
All right. Wow, Chris, you can't really get enough of the Gaddafi fun facts, can you?
No, you can't.
Jim, he once stopped plastic surgery to eat a burger. Can you do that?
Oh.
You can't have a cheeseburger in the middle of surgery,
jeez.
Can you? A Brazilian surgeon said he was escorted deep inside a bunker in the Libyan capital. His assignment to shave years off Muammar Gaddafi's appearance by removing fat from his belly and injecting it into his face.
It was poorly done.
Yeah, woof. He also got hair plugs.
Yeah.
The four-hour procedure in 1995 was done at Gaddafi's insistence with local anesthesia. Ooh, yikes. Because he wanted to remain alert, midway through, he stopped to have a hamburger.
Cheeseburger, Pepsi, facial surgery.
No Pepsi, Coke.
That's just weird. Yes, Chris, you found some other Gaddafi fun facts on the interwebs?
Yeah, on on every foreign trip he makes, Gaddafi is reportedly surrounded by a 40-strong retinue of female bodyguards who he insists must be virgins.
Of course.
Right.
Let's see. The next one is Gaddafi has reportedly awarded himself the title King of Kings of Africa. He has also decided that he should be known as Guide of the 1st September Great Revolution of the Socialist People's Libyan Arab Jamhuria.
That rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
Yes, though he's been considered an international pariah for much of his rule after being accused of terrorism, Gaddafi abandoned his program of prohibited weapons in 2003 to return to Libya into international mainstream politics. In September of 2004, George Bush formally ended a U.S. trade embargo as a result of Gaddafi's scrapping of the arms program and taking responsibility for Lockerbie.
All right.
Yes.
All right. I was looking for the odd fun, because he's wacky. I was looking for the crazy fun facts, but I'll search some more. There was some I read over the holiday, and I can't remember. They're just too weird to even remember. All right. The president's speech is at 4:30, did you say?
Pacific
time.
Yes.
7:30 Eastern.
Yes.
The president this week.
I firmly believe that when innocent people are being brutalized, when someone like Gaddafi threatens a bloodbath that could destabilize an entire region, and when the international community is prepared to come together to save many thousands of lives, then it's in our national interest to act. And it's our responsibility. This is one of those times.
Although, it must be said that we're also killing civilians inadvertently in the process.
Well, I don't think that's been confirmed, Jim, unless you're repeating Gaddafi's propaganda. The thing is, it's working. Carl Levin was on, I don't know which show yesterday, the head of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he said it's a flyover, which is succeeding. It has set Gaddafi back. He's on his heels now.
Right. The rebels are saying they may be able to take Gaddafi out tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I know.
We'll talk about
Secretary Clinton and Gates were on Meet the Press. We'll talk about that and much more 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
These are my dirt bike girlfriend.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, she has small breasts, but she makes up for it by smoking.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12 is the number. Edie McClurg coming up in about a half an hour. Mondays with McClurg. All right, the president's big speech tonight at 7:30 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
The latest out of Libya, the rebel army, they're nattily dressed, aren't they? It looks like a television series. Some of the pictures I've seen, they're just well-dressed for ragtag rebels, aren't they?
Why did you focus on their fashion?
I don't know. Some
was
of the Tim pictures
Gunn
I saw
there
look
to
like...
evaluate their uniforms?
Yeah. Make
those
it work.
Boots are
I'm
fabulous.
Just saying,
where did you get those?
You can't have much time to throw something together, and they look fabulous.
Interesting.
Okay.
They're also starting to produce more oil in Libya, the rebels.
I read somewhere. Interesting.
The rebel army pushed west on Sunday to retake a series of towns from the forces of Gaddafi as they pulled back under pressure from Western airstrikes, emboldened by the capture of the strategic town of...
Good luck.
Ajbadaya. Something like that. You know which one I mean.
Yeah, that one, sure. Mm-hmm.
With the help of foreign warplanes on Saturday, the rebels have, within 2 days, dramatically reversed military losses in their five-week insurgency. So, NATO agreed on Sunday, this was yesterday, to take full command of military operations after a week of negotiations. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates said Western airstrikes had eliminated Gaddafi's ability to move his heavy weapons. So it's, you know, it's doing what it was intended to do. Don't you love if what you were saying, Chris, if this thing is over and it's obviously successful, then what? Then what does the right wing say?
Yeah.
Just it's like everybody says, they have to be against it because Obama's doing it.
Then all the hot bodyguards will be Fox News commentators.
They'll have their own show. Gaddafi's hot bodyguards. Yeah. The virgins.
Sure they are.
He got virgins in this lifetime.
America's next top Gaddafi model.
Yeah, there you go.
good president.
We're protecting the Libyan people from Gaddafi's forces. And we've put in place a no-fly zone and other measures to prevent further atrocities.
You know, I thought it was interesting. Did you watch Meet the Press? I thought Hillary Clinton was great. I mean, but, you know, she also has an interesting perspective because, you know, she talked about the 90s, and that's the one thing that Bill Clinton said that he wished he could have done was stopped what happened in Rwanda and elsewhere. So, I mean, that's what if he hadn't done this, the right wing would have been screaming about that, right? I mean, Gaddafi would have massacred all these people, and then they would have said, why didn't we...
The president did nothing. He sat back and let it happen. What? The president invaded a sovereign country.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They get their propaganda all cattywampus.
Secretary of State yesterday.
This operation has already saved many lives, but the danger is far from over.
The U.S. military intervention in Libya has saved perhaps tens of thousands of lives, Secretary Clinton said Sunday, as she and Defense Secretary Robert Gates defended a mission they acknowledge is drawing skepticism from some liberals and conservatives. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Gates made the rounds on the TV talk shows in advance of the president's speech tonight. I know there's been a lot of questions, and a lot of those questions deserve to be asked and answered, said Secretary Clinton. Gates acknowledged on the same show that what was unfolding in Libya was not a threat to the U.S. and was not a vital national interest to the U.S., but the intervention was justified because of the engagement of the Arabs, the engagement of the Europeans, the general humanitarian question that was at stake. But, I mean, Secretary Clinton put that in context, too. She's like, I mean, at least we have people telling us the truth. I mean, obviously, the whole premise of Iraq was they have weapons of mass destruction. Right. They're going to, you know, that are going to destroy us. I think what they're saying is, I mean, he was being honest. He said, is Libya specifically a vital national interest? But she said you have to put it in the context of where it's located in the world and what was going to happen on a humanitarian level. So,
oil is also a factor,
yep.
I'm sure.
Mrs. Clinton said the situation reflects a recognition by the Obama administration in collaboration with other nations that it cannot allow a repeat of the mass slaughter of civilians like in Rwanda in 94 or Kosovo in the late 90s. Pressed to explain why the U.S. is involved in a military strike in Libya but not in Yemen or Syria, where civilians and protesters have also been killed, Mrs. Clinton said in Libya the government is using its military forces in an organized strike against its own people. That crossed the line that people in the world had decided they could not tolerate, is what she said on ABC. General Carter Ham, he's the U.S. Africa commander.
Our role currently under my authority as the current commander is to make sure of two things. First, that we continue exercising the mission that we have to protect civilians. And secondly, that we are prepared to transition responsibility for this mission to NATO quickly, effectively, and without disruption to the ongoing mission.
Which happened yesterday. By the way, so militarily, in a sign of U.S. confidence that the assault on Libya has tamed Gaddafi's air defenses, the Pentagon reduced the amount of naval firepower arrayed against him. The move reinforces the White House message of a diminishing U.S. role, which will be, I guess, a central part of what the president talks about tonight. Let's see. What's the same guy? General
Where
Ham.
Other nations and other allied partners have a capability. For example, in aircraft that can enforce the no-fly zone or conduct air-to-ground operations, then I think you'll see the U.S. role greatly diminished in the near term.
Robert and Jenny in Palm Springs. Hi, Robert.
Well, good morning. How are you, Steph?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Welcome back for your vacation.
Thank you.
Well, I'm the crazy one who owns 8 pairs of Simpsons pajama pants, if you remember.
That's right.
That guy.
Yeah. And Ginny called along to Rebecca to say that, yes, that's true. Ginny, first words ever to me were, why are you a liberal? And now she's a Stephanie Miller listener all the time.
Go, Ginny. It's your birthday.
And then also, because baseball's starting this week, I wanted Jim to do Kim Jong-il raving about his favorite baseball players, Derek Jeter, Pete Rose, and Wee Willie Keeler.
Oh, Derek Jeter. He my man. He my main man. And Wee Willie, I don't want to talk about him.
Kim Jong-il does what I do. He gets to a word he can't pronounce. He
skips the third baseman guy.
Yeah. Thing.
Definitely skips over it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pete, except that you guys always point it out. Pete in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi,
Pete.
Doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Got a quick question to ask you. Suppose Colonel Gaddafi is right and these rebels are actually al-Qaeda. Then what do we do?
What if, say that one more time?
All right.
First of all, Gaddafi's crazy. So you're talking about something Gaddafi said?
No, I'm just saying. He sent a letter to the President of the United States saying that these rebels are actually al-Qaeda. If he is deposed and if he is right, then al-Qaeda has another strong foothold in the Middle East. Correct. What do we do
right,
about it?
Right, Pete, but I don't think any intelligence supports that the rebels are al-Qaeda.
Well, how do we know? Well, I haven't heard anything from any intelligence agency or been looking in the Internet, looking at...
Do you really think the United States would be involved in this if we had information that the rebels are al-Qaeda?
It's a possibility.
That okay, and we'd be doing that for what reason? Exactly.
That would be against every... interests yes. that we have.
Gaddafi says? Okay. All right. All right. Jay Carney, the president's Carney.
Mm-hmm. All we will not be is in the lead in either the no-fly zone or the civilian protection.
All right. In his weekly address to the nation, President Obama said the joint military operation is succeeding. His decision to deploy U.S. firepower against Gaddafi's regime has saved lives. He said the U.S. should not and cannot intervene every time there's a crisis somewhere in the world, but I firmly believe that when innocent people are being brutalized, when someone like Gaddafi threatens a bloodbath that could destabilize an entire region, and when the international community is prepared to come together to save many thousands of lives, then it is in our national interest to act.
And when there's oil there. What? Oh, no, that's just...
How many times are you going to bring that up?
There is oil there.
Wesley Clark okay. said in 2007, we would not be in the Middle East if it weren't for the oil. That's what he said.
Jim has a point there,
okay,
Stephanie.
But I'm saying there was going to be an enormous slaughter. So I just, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
There's an enormous slaughter going on right now in the Ivory Coast. Why aren't we there?
Right.
The mission in Libya is clear and focused, and the U.S. will soon transfer command of the no-fly zone and humanitarian responsibility to NATO and other allies. He said, as I pledged at the outset, the role of American forces has been limited. We're not putting any ground forces into Libya. Our military has provided unique capabilities at the beginning, but this is now a broad international effort. Obama said fast action. See, this is the other thing they're talking about, Congress. I mean, it would have been too late. Right. It would have been too late. He said, we're succeeding in our mission in places like Benghazi, a city of some 700,000 that Gaddafi threatened to show no mercy. His forces have been pushed back, so make no mistake. Because we acted quickly, a humanitarian catastrophe has been avoided, and the lives of countless civilians and innocent men, women, and children have been saved. You know, we talked about this earlier, but, I mean, Newt Gingrich is the perfect example, right? Wasn't he? He was the one, I mean, literally, it was like... How long was that ago? 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
We got to have a no-fly zone. Why isn't the president acting? And then the president does it. He's like, what? That's what the hell?
Why is he acting?
Frankly, that's the wrong thing to do. Well, what kind of idiot would suggest that? Okay. I think he admitted that.
Obviously, there were contradictions because one day he's over here and I comment on being over here.
Yeah.
Another day he's over here and you comment on being over here. And they say, wow, Gingrich is commenting both ways. That's true. I was trying to follow Obama.
Oh, I see. It's the president's fault. I see. Of course, no matter what he did, it would have been his fault. Ken in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hey there. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so refreshing to hear your voices, especially on a Monday morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a point that this is not a U.S.-led mission. That is a U.N.-led mission. It's not like we barged in and we're not invited there. We are certainly welcome, and we also have a responsibility to the world community as a whole. To be there, if we would have said no and turned our back on the UN, it would have been like a slap across the face to our allies throughout the rest of the world. I mean,
well, right. And, Ken, it's, you know, obviously you can see the polar opposite of Iraq, you know, I mean, in terms of...
Right.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is just, I think I was saying that, Ken, that this is why I sometimes reflexively defend the president, because they criticize him no matter what he does on any subject, you know, and the right wing is just completely disingenuous on this, and Newt Gingrich is a perfect example, and then he blames the president for that, for his own incoherence on it.
But there is just as bad a slaughter going on the Ivory Coast right as we speak.
Okay, well, why
Libya and why not Ivory Coast?
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. Everybody thinks this is so easy. I mean, the Libya is a tough call.
Right.
But, you know, so what would you have done if you were in the Oval Office?
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
No, everybody thinks we're not doing it right.
Why Libya and why not the Ivory Coast when the exact same thing is happening?
Well, we'll get the president on the phone and talk to him after this.
Asking you why you're supporting Obama for going into Libya
I'll answer when I get back. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
David and Rebecca in Seattle write, staff again with the naysaying mooks. Somebody remind them, unlike the aggressors in the Ivory Coast, Libya is led by a man who was literally the leading state sponsor of international terrorism for a decade. Mooks, please.
Yes.
It's another edition of Mooks, please.
Wesley Clark said in 2007 in an interview with Amy Goodman.
Well, why here and why not there. The president said, I'm not saying we should be everywhere. These are the decisions you got to make when you're president. Hillary Clinton was pressed to explain why are we not involved in Yemen or Syria.
Would you have voted for Wesley Clark for president if he had got the nomination?
I loved Wesley Clark. I'm just saying, but you can't even say what every decision Wesley Clark would make if he were president now. I mean, look, as a liberal, I reflexively am not happy about military stuff. I'm kind of like, ugh. But you know, you got. I mean, what Secretary Clinton said is that it crossed the line.
Sure.
She was saying, unlike in Libya, the government is using its military forces and organized strike against its own people. He said that crossed the line. The people in the world decided they could not tolerate.
I just want to say, Wesley Clark said something that sounds very much like what Chris was saying. We intervene in places that have oil, and why not in Africa? Mentioned a few countries in Africa.
But I think the point is what Secretary Clinton was, the point she was trying to make is the U.S. did not lead this. This actually, and I think as one of our callers was pointing out, right, that for us to say, oh, screw you guys, we're not getting involved, this was where she said the world decided this was a line that couldn't be crossed, there was going to be a mass slaughter. I'm telling you, if that would have happened, the right wing
in unison would have said,
the president, look at what the president did, he allowed this slaughter in Libya.
Right, but there's a mass slaughter going on in the Ivory Coast right now to the same extent that it was going on in Libya.
And according to Wesley Clark, the difference is why
Gaddafi was behind the Lockerbie.
Yes.
I mean,
sure,
I'm not
absolutely.
Saying, but you got to look at, like, okay, these are all the reasons, and when do you intervene and when you don't? The president decided this is a time when you do.
Sure.
I'm not.
That's fine. I'm just saying oil was not necessarily not a factor.
Okay, I'm not saying that it wasn't, but I don't, you know, I mean, I'm also saying we prevented the mass slaughter of a lot of civilians.
Sure.
Gaddafi, you know, is crazy enough to do it. I mean, we have every reason to believe, of course, he was going to do it.
And the leaders of the Ivory Coast are doing it as well, to the same extent that Gaddafi was.
Matt in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. I've already answered it, Jim. I've already answered it six times. Hello, Matt.
I'm here. I'm here to help you, Stephanie.
Thank you, baby.
I love the MOOCs, and I love you.
Thank you.
It's not quite middle of the road, but I'm siding on with you. And I think what it is you're so passionate about this. What you meant to say was all the reasons that you've already given, but there's a difference between Ivory Coast and Libya, and that is Muammar Gaddafi is well known to the world. Everybody understands the Lockerbie bombing and the fact that his government mowing down people is relevant. Yes, there's oil there, and Jim, I will give it to the hat for that, but it's not that simple.
My other point is that what Secretary Clinton said yesterday, but you have to look at where they are in the world. That, I mean, if you don't do anything, it sends the message to other dictators, this is how you stop this. You
Absolutely.
Just slaughter your civilians, and the world will stand by, and that's how you stop this.
That kind of sucks for the people of the Ivory Coast that are getting killed.
Right, but name the leader of the Ivory Coast.
I don't know, but whoever it is killing a lot of his own people.
But it's a long education campaign to demonize that leader when nobody knows who in the world it is. Gaddafi is an automatic image that around the world everybody knows.
So we're doing it for image.
He's a bad guy.
Saddam Hussein was.
That factors in. That's one of the factors. Is you do have to realize that taking out Gaddafi will be looked at on a world view as a good thing from other countries.
Yep.
Ivory Coast, I don't know.
Taking out Saddam Hussein probably was a good thing to some countries.
Right. Well, Jason in Madison has a point about the Ivory Coast as well. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead. Hey, Jace.
Hey, I'm progressive-minded, so obviously I don't think in black and white terms, but I think the whole comparing Ivory Coast to Libya, it's sort of a weak argument, something that a conservative would use against.
Yes, exactly. My point is, why do we want to use our little tiny corner of the progressive universe to bash Obama?
I'm asking
you
questions.
Yes, you are.
Stephanie.
Not let go of Ivory Coast. Why not here? Why not here? Why not? I'm not the president. I can't explain why we're here and why we're not here.
I'm not bashing him. I'm asking a question.
Go ahead, Jason.
My main point is, Libya has heavy artillery and stuff we can take out with cruise missiles. We're not going to target machetes and guns with there's nothing to target in Ivory Coast.
Isn't killing, slaughter?
Jason, that's a point. That would mean ground forces. It's a different thing.
It's a pragmatic approach. Obama is a pragmatist, and I'm sorry for the $100 million or $1 billion it's going to cost. We're saving a lot of lives with, you know, honestly, a little bit of firepower and a little bit of money. There's going to be collateral damage, but it's something we could do. And, yes, oil is involved. But, you know, we still need oil while we try to force the corporations and Republicans to allow us to have solar and other things advance.
Yep.
We do need oil.
Yep. Mark in California with one more point about Ivory Coast, Jim. Sorry, and then we'll go ahead. Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Long time, first time.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. MOOCs, I usually agree with you guys, but I think you guys are totally wrong. Stephanie, I'm on your side.
I think
the reason is I think your logic is flawed. It's kind of like saying, you know, I see a beautiful woman on the street being attacked, and I run to help her, and in her gratitude, she ends up giving me her phone number. Wonderful. But I didn't help her because I could get her phone number. I helped her because I saw a woman in need. I happened to get her phone number, which is the reality of the situation. They happen to have oil. They happen to have an interest in the world economies because of that oil. But we also went there. The reason we went there is because we saw a mass slaughter. Why not the Ivory Coast? Because at this moment right now, like the previous caller said, no one knows who the Ivory Coast leader is. It would make a much more difficult case to make before the UN to show the exact reason why they have such an impact on the world and the world economy to actually go in there. And, yes, we agree. It is a horrible thing, and maybe eventually we will get to the Ivory Coast. But right now, this is the woman that was being attacked. She happened to be beautiful, and we went to rescue her. Period.
The point is that, you know, it also has to do with our UN and NATO partners asked us to help to stop this for humanitarian reasons. So, I mean, you can say we should have or shouldn't have.
I was just quoting Wesley Clark from an interview in 2007.
Yeah, well, I mean, saying that there's not oil involved, but, you know, Lynn in Massachusetts. Hello, Lynn.
Hi. Official military mom of the Stephanie Miller Show, and I just have to weigh in with Jim. Yes. Okay, we're there for oil, but here's the reality. We have not been able to develop any other resources. That one place where we have no influence. We have influence in Yemen. We have influence in Syria, in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia. Still, we don't have any influence in Libya. And so we are going in for humanitarian reasons, but we're ultimately there, too, because if we destabilize that entire region, we're going to cripple our economy even further.
Yep, good point. 58 minutes after the hour, Mondays with McClure, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies!
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, Bonnie. Bonnie from Chicago writes, we are not in the Ivory Coast because NATO and the UN have not supported going to the Ivory Coast. We in the United States are following the UN and NATO's lead. I know, Bonnie.
Of course we are.
Yeah. Dave in Seattle with the very same point. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi, Steph. You just stole my thunder. My question for the MOOCs is, you know, why isn't the UN demanding that we go into the Ivory Coast?
Yeah.
Because we waited until the
right.
UN
it's part of,
to go into Libya.
Right, and I'm sure we'll hear that from the president tonight, David. It's part of the reason. You know, you can't, again, I'm not sitting in the Oval Office, so I can't tell you every reason, but obviously that's a big part of it. We
garnered support from the UN. Matter of fact, we waited until the UN demanded some action, and then we took it. So it's the same thing with the UN. We don't just barge in. That's what we did
right.
in Iraq and stuff. So
right, and guess what? If we went into the Ivory Coast, what would the right wing say in unison, Dave?
Oh, God, they say the same thing. You know, they said, you should have acted before you acted on Libya. Oh, wait a minute, you shouldn't have acted at all on Libya.
Yeah, we can't be the world's...
It's wrong.
Right. We can't be the world's policeman, yada, yada, yada. Stephanie in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi. I just want to say hi. I'm a new listener. But I wanted to say also that the two guys, I'm not really familiar with them yet. So
yeah, I'm not either.
To me, they are the problem with the Progressive Liberal Party. They are the absolute problem. People with that mindset, people who think and talk like them, a constant tear down, constantly. I didn't see anybody in the Ivory Coast asking us to come in.
Right. They obviously want us there in Libya.
They were not begging us to come in there and to help them. And I think that the president did what he had to do in a very, very tough situation. Yes, they have all yada, 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 blah, 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 blah about that. However, he cannot be everywhere all of the time. You just have to go in and strategically where you can make a difference instead of making it worse, instead of bringing in our armies. You can get in and get out, where you can get in there and get out in a matter of months.
Well,
or I don't care if it takes months.
Right. Steph, I think the question.
We're not going to be there years.
The question.
If you can get in and.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's exactly right. Jim, I think that's the only point is why can't we ever focus on the positive? Why can't you. And you could disagree with Libya, that's fine, but I'm just saying, why can't you say that's a good thing? We did a humanitarian good thing rather than going right to the, how come we're not in the Ivory Coast? I mean, it's
I didn't say that, first
okay,
of all.
Yes.
I was just quoting Wesley Clark on something he said in 2007. While the Bush administration was still in power.
All right.
So
the important thing, it's Monday, and that makes everybody
happy.
Sounds like
happy. Somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Cliff McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore
it. Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
Hi.
It's your job to come in and make peace now.
Oh, now everybody is allowed to have an opinion. And
that's
they can
right.
speak up and say it because we're Americans.
That's right. Someone named Footsie writes, Steph, tell the MOOCs don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Just because we can't get involved everywhere doesn't mean we shouldn't get involved anywhere. Edie, what's your thoughts on Libya?
Well, Mr. Gaddafi or Gaddafi.
Yes, or what? That's why Chris said I can't find anything because no one can agree on how to spell it. How do I find fun facts about
him? Is it K? Is it G? Is it...
Yeah, exactly.
The alphabet, they're alphabetically challenged, I think, over there.
Well, no, they're trying to approximate the Arabic spelling of it, and letter for that sound in the Roman alphabet.
The Qatar sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the place, but the phlegm sound.
Yes, I think.
It's Flemish.
We speak Flemish.
Blah, 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 blah.
And ironically...
You know,
I make fun because I have nothing to say.
That's not true. The president's big speech tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30. Perfect. Right in smack dab in the middle of cocktail hour for me. 50%, according to a new CBS News poll, say they approve Obama's handling of Libya, 29% disapproval. And we'll see, you know, what happens after the speech tonight. But,
yeah. Well, 4:30 our time.
Yes.
Is, you know, that's kind of the beginning of rush hour. So you would call it the lush hour.
Yes, thank you. Well, Ian McClurg, look at you today with your little bon mots. Andrew in Tucson on, George in Chicago. Hey, George.
Hello?
Hello, George. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to mention on Ivory Coast thing that, like, there was multiple bills brought on to the United Nations Council, and France vetoed them. Basically, the opposition leader wanted to cancel all the diamond contract that go to De Beers and then renegotiate everything so they can focus more on their people. And without, we can't just unilaterally go to Ivory Coast without France approval. So that's the reason we're not intervening there.
Right. Well, that's what we were saying. You know, as I think after Iraq in particular, there's been sensitivity to doing things without, you know, NATO, without a UN, without a coalition. And as I guess a lot of people pointed out, we joined a coalition because we were asked to. John in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Hey, Edie. Hey, Mook.
Hey, I spent some lovely time in Asheville shooting a movie. And
it's beautiful.
It's a very forward-thinking area.
Absolutely. Little San Francisco is what one of the outlying places call it. But anyway.
Asheville, city by the bay. That's what I always say.
Right, the French Broad River. But I was coming up with the Ivory Coast thing, which the Mooks were against, and Stephanie and I seem to agree on. But another thing about it is there's no defined line. It's intermixed. You've got all the bad guys mixed in with the good guys, and so you can't bomb them out of existence.
Well, right, it would be ground troops is the other reason we were saying.
Ground troops is the only way that you could do it, and even then, it would be like South Vietnam was.
Yeah.
You know, so that is a very muddled situation that they're going to have to work out for themselves.
Yeah, I hear you. Al in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Al.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, to Jim's point, you know, if we don't question what we're doing, we're no better than the right.
Oh, I agree. I mean, believe me, I've when this all first started, I mean, I was on the fence like everybody else, like, you know, I mean, it's. I mean, even when we're in the middle of this horrible budget fight, and you hear what, you know, just one bomb and one whatever this is costing, you're like, well, there goes all the, you know, the savings we were talking about, and but you're right, as a nation, you have to go. Is this a moral issue? Is this a humanitarian crisis? And I guess, you know, they decided yes.
Well, and I, you know, I'm in favor of what we're doing in Libya. And I think our president's pointed out to us, he signaled that we're not going to be able to do this cowboy stuff anymore. We're not going to be able to jump into every situation that we see that we'd like to necessarily or that maybe needs some action. It's going to take a commitment by the rest of the world to assist in this policing job. We cannot do this any longer as a nation.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Alan, one for you, Chris. Alan in Philadelphia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Alan. Hey,
after
Alan.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
After 8 years of Cheney Bush, where we saw how our soldiers were exploited and betrayed, I'm very disappointed that the left would support this operation.
Well, not everybody does, Alan. I mean, not everybody. I mean, obviously, Kucinich and a lot of people that, you know, have been consistent about that or not.
I'm hearing 50-50 on left radio. Now, to me, the administration's duplicitous. They're packaging this as altruism and humanitarianism. It's only about the oil. Follow the oil. There's so many conflicts going on. We should utilize our military if our shores are threatened or if we can interdict a terrorist attack. I'm tired of sending our kids to war for oil.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to back up the MOOCs here. I'm thinking that, you know, I don't even know yet which side I'm on as far as whether we should be there or not, but I know that we have a lot of influence over the UN. So you were saying that you thought because...
And NATO. Well, NATO. We were saying UN and NATO.
Yeah, UN and NATO. Well, we have tremendous influence in those institutions. So obviously, you know, if we want this to happen, you know, we can go to them and say, hey, let's work out a plan. So you request that we do it. That's one point. The other one is, you know, what about the Constitution? I mean, we've said for years the president shouldn't be able to just the war powers right,
but
drop
but I, right, but, you know, Mike, I think the president will talk about this tonight. To me, this was not, you know, this was not a declaration of war. I don't think that we are defining this as that we're at war. I mean, first of all, as of yesterday, we're not even in, you know, we're not in the lead. We joined. Right. Well, what I'm saying is we joined a UN and NATO mission that was, you know, billed as a humanitarian crisis, and we joined it. I understand you can disagree. Kevin in Rochester says, Chris, you dope. You know, normally I wouldn't read this. I'll tell you why not the Ivory Coast. They don't have the same military capability as Libya. We are not sending ground troops into Libya. We're enforcing a no-fly zone. We are not stopping the two factions from fighting each other. We are stopping the Libyan military from easily killing thousands of innocent civilians. Every time you adamantly quote parrot right-wing talking points, you weaken the Democratic Party. Stop being such a douche. Leave that to the hand of these Limbaugh's backs, etc.
Okay. So Wesley Clark is a right-wing tool. Douche.
He didn't, did he say something specifically about Libya? Or
yes.
You're talking about something he said. What
in 2007, I told you that.
Okay. But he's not talking about Libya now.
Okay.
Let's get General Clark on and ask him what he thinks now. You keep repeating something he said in 2007 about the Bush administration. I mean, it's just, you know, you can keep repeating it, but I'm just saying you haven't talked to
General. All right, let's have him on.
Okay, good. Let's. All right. Chris in Los Angeles on Libya as well. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
I gotta come to the MOOC's defense just a little bit because they're getting beat up. I think that what they're doing is they're not really criticizing so much as they're forcing us to think about something. And I think it is that.
Oh, I agree. It's not clear cut, Chris. When this happened, well, first of all, we were on vacation, but I was like, oh boy, you know. I mean, I think we reflexively, you know, particularly after Iraq and Afghanistan on the left, go, oh, you know, do we have to do this?
Well, yeah, I think what they're saying is we look at it as a series of checkoffs. Like, you know, they were saying evil world dictator check, genocide check, economic interest check, and you don't have all of those
things
with the Ivory Coast. And
I think what
they're saying is it's not really about humanitarianism, because even if Ivory Coast was sitting on a big, you know, stores of oil.
Right. It's the rest of the checklist. It's UN and NATO. It's right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. It's
by figuring out how to do ground troops in there. But the fact of the matter is, it's a small country. Nobody cares about it. And, you know, and the same amount of genocide can be going on, but it's just not enough interest for us to be in there. And I think that's what they're saying.
Well, and the right wing would be screaming in unison if we were, you know, if we did go in there.
The thing is, these things are always more complicated than what's being sold to us. You know, it's humanitarian mission. Yes.
Yes,
of
course. Yeah,
it's
of course.
A lot more than that, too.
Right.
So
it's a yes and.
It's easy to break the stuff down to its essential elements and say it's either this or that, but it's always more complicated than that.
All right. Enie McClurg will break this all up when we come back. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg. As we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is The Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Mini Cooper with 37 miles per gallon. Learn more at miniusa.com/info. Oh, I just want to spoon with one every time I see a Mini Cooper. It's so cute.
I did
some
radio spots for them.
My Leaf is now ordered. I'll be getting that in a couple, 3 months. Mm. And I'm adding more solar panels to my roof.
Cool. You are the greenest girl I know.
So that in plugging in the car... in the garage,
see?
The sun will, so there will
no
be
more
no
war
energy,
for oil.
No more oil.
I really think you should have your own nuclear reactor in your garage. Clearly, that's the responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to call back to the beginning of the show with the protection of workers and the Triangle Fire. This is the 100th anniversary of the Triangle Fire, where they had closed and locked the doors and put the sewing machines in front of the doors.
The same week that they went to tear down that mural.
Yeah.
Someone wrote to us. It's because they only had one door so that they could check the girls' purses when they went out to make sure they weren't stealing scraps or something. Yeah.
And the thing is, when you don't have proper ventilation, brown lung, they think, oh, they're just working with cotton. Well, cotton puts off pieces of fluff that go in the lungs, and so just as many people doing coal in the black lung, they had just as many with the
brown lung,
and I worked as a government drone on the summer vacations from college, and we had to go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of card, computer card.
Yep.
And in order to make us more efficient, they gave us the thing called tacky finger, which the first three fingers of your hand you had to put in this tacky finger to make, get the cards going faster and faster.
It was made of strychnine, right?
Yeah, yes. And at the end of that...
And Agent Orange.
And at the end of that summer, my three fingers on each hand were cracked and bleeding.
Oh,
and it took 9 months for the new skin to come in that would not crack and bleed.
You had to have finger transplants.
Yeah, imagine the people who use that stuff all the time, every day.
Look at you, our Norma Rae this morning.
Union!
Oh, by the way, here's another reason I love L.A.
I love it.
L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa agreed with City Union's ways to save $400 million over the next 4 years to help close budget deficits, calling it a demonstration that collective bargaining can work. The plan calls for union workers to pay as much as 4% of their salary toward retirement and health care coverage. It would freeze pay increases. He said today Los Angeles has a message for municipal governments all across America. Collective bargaining works.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the unions did the same thing in Wisconsin. They said, okay.
Right.
We'll make concessions to make this whole state work and to, pull together, and that's not what it's about.
It's about the shock doctrine.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, load the liar cannon. Did you hear about this guy, the Indiana Republican? Oh, boy. He reportedly advised Scott Walker to stage a phony violent attack on himself by by union supporters.
You are a bald-faced liar.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that part. So he got this email from an admirer, Scott Walker did during this whole thing. The email suggested that he fake an attack on himself in order to create sympathy for his cause and damage the reputation of unions. It read, I've been involved in Republican politics here in India for 18 years, and I think the situation in Wisconsin presents a good opportunity, what's called a false flag operation.
Exactly.
If you can employ an associate who pretends to be sympathetic to the union's cause to physically attack you or even use a firearm against you, you could discredit the public unions. Isn't that a Jim Dandy idea? The email was signed Carlos Lamb. There is a Carlos Lamb, a Republican official in Indiana, who, of course, categorically denied sending the email. I'm flabbergasted. It would never advocate for something like this, or would like everyone to be sure that that is just not me.
That's a crazy conspiracy.
Are you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
He said, I am filing a police report. This is an outrage. I don't even... Rage.
You're a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Oh, here's an update. I'm sorry. According to Johnson County Prosecutor's Office, he's admitted he wrote the email and has resigned.
Uh-huh.
Oh! Because he is a giant.
Liar, 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 pants on... Whoa.
That is an outrage.
False flag operation. It's almost like saying, I wish we had a Pearl Harbor-like event, and then getting one. That's so lucky.
Diane in Texas writes, Steph, the mooks are forgetting that we were the subject of a terrorist attack directly from Gaddafi in 98. Pan Am 103 was blown by a bomb over Lockerbie. Gaddafi has shown he's willing to attack us and harbor terrorists. Sanctions never should have been lifted by Bush. I was directly affected by Pan Am 103. Mm. tell Chris to drop Ivory Coast. It's a tragedy and ghastly, but it's not the same. Someone else is pointing out that they don't have an Air Force, so a no-fly zone is not an option in the Ivory Coast. You would have to send in ground troops.
Well, then why don't we say that's why we're going in, instead of saying it's a humanitarian thing?
What are you talking about?
President Obama said it was a humanitarian thing. That's why we're going in.
That is one of the reasons, yes. We are going in also because the UN and NATO asked us to.
Okay. If it's a humanitarian thing, why aren't we going into Ivory Coast as a humanitarian thing? That's just a question I have.
Because there is a whole list of reasons. The UN and NATO are not asking us to.
The UN and NATO pretty much do whatever we say.
We can't, because we don't, there's no Air Force. That's part of the problem.
It is.
It's just a question.
A humanitarian mission, among other things.
Yes. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Have you been drinking?
Yes. Have you been aging?
34 minutes after the hour. Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Edie McClurg. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi, Steph.
Hi.
I was just thinking, Gaddafi's been one of our wackier dictators for a long time, and the whole time he's been Colonel Gaddafi. I think if somebody would just promote him to general, he might be distracted for a while.
Sure, sure. That might work.
Just promote him to general.
Yes. All right. Thank you. That was a little joke. Okay. Chip writes, is Chris auditioning for Fox and Friends? I don't know. Chris, are you?
I don't know. You took away my mic, so I can't answer.
Oh, whoops. I must have been an oversight.
Yeah.
Martin writes, Steph, the difference between Libya and Ivory Coast is this. The fighting in Libya is a popular uprising against a dictator. The fighting in the Ivory Coast is a civil war between two political factions. The UN does have peacekeepers in the Ivory Coast. The mooks are wrong about oil, too. Petroleum is one of the Ivory Coast's top exports.
Mm-hmm.
So just some Libya and Ivory Coast fun facts, Dee Dee. Kelly in Chicago used to live in Libya. Hi, Kel.
Wow.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Steph.
Why did you live in Libya?
My father worked for Occidental Petroleum when I was a little girl.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And then I dropped out of high school my senior year and went back and stayed with him for another year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really an amazing experience. But I wanted to say that, you know, he worked for Occidental, which after the coup became 51% Libyan-owned and 49% foreign Western-owned. And he worked in an executive office building in Tripoli, where we lived. And he came home one day just ashen-faced and said that the policemen, which always wore plain clothes and drove around in regular clothes, you never knew who could stop you and harass you there. Went into the office building, pulled six men off the floor above him, took them outside, and hung them in the street. And this happened all the time.
Yeah,
Libya.
What's your take on what's happening now?
I think that it's good. I am sorry that we don't take a better stance most of the time when we see things like this happening in the rest of the world, but I don't think it makes it wrong now just because we don't always do the right thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think you can only go case by case and, you know, you can offer your opinion on Libya, but, you know, it's, again, we can't sit here and go, why aren't we here, why aren't we here, why aren't we here? The president said we can't be everywhere.
There's
more
justification for going into Libya than there was for going into Iraq.
Well, Jason with a good point in Boston. Steph, what I haven't heard discussed is the overall Middle East picture. Actually, I think Secretary Clinton talked about this yesterday on Meet the Press. As it relates to our actions in Libya, clearly Libya is more important in the immediate and to USA directly due to the fresh democracies on the left and right in Tunisia and Egypt, which need serious support and stability to work. To have a terrorist supporter dictator between those populist movements would be a huge blow and weaken them and directly affect our reputation on the Arab street. I mean, I think that was a big thing, too, right, Edie, that the Arab League is behind this. I mean, this is just 180 degrees different from, let's say, Iraq. Don't the guys get that? The very reason Al-Qaeda exists is because we, the USA, supported dictators over people in oil over democracy for decades. The reason terrorists bloom in these countries is because the only places they have for expression is the mosque, and of course it becomes radicalized when people are propagandized, blah, blah, about tyrants from the crusading imperialist West. To support the rebels, the people for once show a huge difference in our foreign policy and has been openly welcomed by the Arab street. Just this week, there was a large thank you rally in Copley Square made up of various Middle Easterners and Libyans.
And a lot of this started because of Obama's visit to Cairo.
Right.
Where he finally admitted that we overthrew Mossadegh in Iran, which started the whole Islamic fundamentalist movement.
That's what Jason says, isn't the global war on terror about winning hearts and minds? And, you know, yeah, certainly that's what we thought it should be. All right, let's do one more here. Shano in Pittsburgh wants to break up his parents' fight here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Shano!
Stephanie, why is our family so unnormal? You guys go away for a week. You leave us on vacation with some rocker babysitter. You come home an hour after you're in the door, you're already fighting. Why can't we have a normal family like the other kids?
Yeah, I know. Well, I was fighting with my real Republican family for a week, and now I'm here fighting with my...
This is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
Exactly. You are the reason we cannot have nice things.
Thank you.
Actually, I think you guys actually agree more than you're disagreeing here.
No, we are.
No, they would never agree with me. Just on principle.
There's multiple factors as to why we went to Libya. Of course, one is humanitarian, and the other could be economic. So, Stephanie, you're just saying that it's more towards the humanitarian side. Jim and Chris are just saying it could be oil, too. And if you look at the U.K. and France, who use that light, sweet crude for their diesel fuel, they are probably more for the oil. So it's possible it could be, you know, a multi-causation as well.
What?
Yes.
Everything's either
nuance,
black or white.
Nuance? No. Brian.
Screw nuance.
French and gay. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, where Mama just came from. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I love Jim and Chris, man. I feel the same way as Shane. Man, I don't want you guys to fight. But you know what? You got to be a real cynic to think Obama's going into Libya for oil. The reason why I say that is because the minute he went in, the right wing, with all of their oil interest over there,
yeah,
were actually genuinely surprised that he actually started bombing. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't think he went in for oil, though.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. By the way, Edie McClure, noted feminist.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Who are you calling, sir?
We are all, sir.
She thought you were Peppermint Patty.
I have not been a man since the late 70s. How dare you? Geraldine Ferraro died. It was very sad. I got to meet her. Did you ever get to meet her?
No, I was at a speech once, but I was, you know, one of the...
She was really, really nice. She's like what everybody says. She was really, really nice in person, just warm and genuine, down to earth. And the first woman vice presidential candidate, obviously, ever. A barrier-breaking pioneer for women in politics.
Very big pioneer.
And much smarter than Sarah Palin. Which
well,
is...
she brought us, they're saying, Hillary Clinton and Sarah Palin, which, you know, everybody has a... She, by the way, I didn't realize this fun fact. Reagan won 49 of 50 states. In that election, yep, making my dad in Goldwater's election look like a rousing success. A lot of people remember how condescending George Bush Sr., remember?
Mm.
How condescending he seemed.
Can't have a chick in the White House.
Let me help you with the difference, Ms. Ferraro, between Iran and the embassy in Lebanon.
Let me just say, first of all, that I almost resent, Vice President Bush, your patronizing attitude that you have to teach me about foreign policy.
Snap. Not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it.
She's gonna smack me in the head. I'm gonna see 1,000 points of light. Senator,
Good have you whacked? CIA. Just saying.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York.
All of the successes that she made makes my career possible. Makes the career of every young woman who wants to do public service possible.
And Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland. Also talking about Geraldine.
What Jerry did was define our possibilities. We knew if you could go for vice president, you could go for anything you wanted or could do.
Yeah. She really was a, you know, she was a remarkable woman. All right. Let's go back to fighting. Let's go. Rain in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rain.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
I'm gonna chime in a little bit here. We actually have been doing stuff on the Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We sent $12.5 million in humanitarian aid and food to them. And one thing I think is really different here is that within the first few weeks of what was happening in Libya, over 1,000 civilians were killed.
Yeah.
As of March 10th, only about 350 people were noted to be killed in the Ivory Coast. Plus, the Ivory Coast has, I'm sorry, I have a cold. The Ivory Coast has actually, like, I do, I have a cold.
That's all right.
The Ivory Coast, sorry.
They have you ever noticed how it makes you sound like Ernestine whenever you have a cold?
Yeah.
Or not Ernestine, what am I thinking? Edith Ann. All right, go ahead, Rand.
But Liberia's been taking them, the people from the Ivory Coast as refugees, and Libya doesn't have that. They can't go to Egypt. They can't go to Tunisia. They can't really go anywhere.
Well, so, Brian, I think it's, you know, like we were saying, it's a number of reasons. It's where Libya is located and what's happening in the rest of the Middle East. It's the fact that, you know, Ivory Coast doesn't have an air force. You can't do a no-fly zone like this. You can't, you
exactly.
know, you got to send in ground troops. So, you know, situations are...
I think there's nuance here. I don't think that the two situations are the same. That's where, you know, I understand what Chris is saying, but I think that it's comparing apples and oranges in these two situations. Like, you know, like Shano just said earlier. Yeah, there is oil to be talked about here, but it's mostly European oil. We use less than 2% of Libyan oil.
Yeah.
If that much. So
yeah.
I think there's a certain nuance, and I don't think that we should just kind of compare everything and make it equal. As much as it would be nice in a utopian world.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Gunner in Albuquerque disagrees. Hello, Gunner.
Yeah, I'm actually here to voice support for the MIPS. I really disagree with
the
peace through bombs kind of initiative. Do you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Is it? Okay. Uh-huh. I really disagree with the Peace Through Bombs initiative. I think if we really wanted to take care of these dictators, we'd take care of them on the front end. We wouldn't be selling them millions of dollars worth of weapons. The weapons that he's using on his population.
I thought you said Peace Through Bombs for a minute.
I thought you said that too, and I thought, okay, my ears must be really bad today.
All right.
Bombs.
We might actually achieve more
peace through bombs.
We might actually achieve more peace through bombs.
Yeah. That's
a better idea. Paul in Long Beach. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
No, you're Paul.
And the boot.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Check your underwear.
Apparently. But I'm not that confused. I just want to say to the Obama sheep supporters to stop attacking progressives. All we're doing is pointing out the hypocrisy of the situation. So, we clearly understand there are nuances in this situation and that humanitarian mission is part of it, but don't present it as the real mission. The reason that the UN and the French all support these attacks is because they have economic oil interests in Libya.
Of course,
the
follow the money.
That they're there, that's they're following the money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't.
Right, but Paul, the other problem then is so when France.
Issue.
When France and our other allies ask us to join them and we say no, what happens when we ask them?
I'm actually not against the action that has happened.
Right.
But do
right.
not
exactly.
present
it's more complex
it as
than
a
that.
Humanitarian issue.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. It's not an up or down
economic.
Issue.
Right. I didn't. Well,
it's
no.
Not,
I,
the lie
I didn't say so, Jim. I said there's a checklist. You know, and I'm sure
right.
that there's
the lie in this is not quite as bad as the weapons of mass destruction because there at least is a humanitarian issue in Libya.
Paul,
so
you come to my house and we will spoon and watch the president's speech together. All right.
I support him, and I will continue
all right.
to support
all
him.
Right.
But
all right. I get to be the front spoon. I like the front spoon. Okay. I'm just saying. Don't you?
Chris,
if you have a choice of spooning, I like to be the inside. Yes, Jim?
Chris from Yankton had a comment, which I think is interesting. He said, for the record, there's a simple thing that some callers are missing while boiling down this complex foreign policy issue into support Obama or else you undermine him. When bringing up Ivory Coast as an example, producer Chris is bringing it up as an example. It's not an argument that we must go into Ivory Coast if we're going into Libya.
It's just so annoying.
It's not arguing that we should be going into Ivory Coast or Libya. It's simply an example used to clarify the question, what is our foreign policy anyway?
And it's to annoy me. It has the added benefit of annoying me.
No, it's a side effect.
And being that's a Fox talking point. 46 minutes after the hour, right back.
Fine.
With the remaining.
Attack me when you take away my mic. I see how you work.
Oh, that's just an oversight. Edie's hogging your microphone.
You two will be spooning under a nice big comforter during the speech.
No.
Yes, you will.
Kiss me. 46 minutes after the hour. Me or you're fired. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Chris in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that we have the Republicans doing another crazy thing out here. They're trying to get rid of the office of the Secretary of State and the Treasurer. Yeah. So I thought I'd let everybody know so the people in the other states that have these same guys in there can watch their legislation and see what's going through because it looks like they're all playing from the same book.
By the way, Chris, tomorrow, don't miss the show. Joanne Kloppenburg is going to be on, who is running for the Supreme Court there in Wisconsin. That could, you know, change the whole balance on this, you know, ridiculous budget bill.
Yeah, it's a very important race for us.
Yep.
It's very big out here.
Yep. Joanne Kloppenburg tomorrow on the big show along with Charlie Pierce. Don't miss it.
Wow.
Might turn the page on this whole collective bargaining thing in Wisconsin. Oh, by the way,
that recall thing going.
The Koch suckers were interviewed. Oh, I'm sorry. No, the Kochs themselves. Pardon me, not the Koch suckers. People sucking off the Koch teat. In lengthy interviews with a conservative magazine, the billionaire Koch brothers. Oh boy. Hey, let's see. Well, among other things, they called their liberal critics very, very extreme and very dangerous. President Obama's radical Marxist. whose success largely owed to his silver tongue. Mm. He's the most radical president we've ever seen as a nation, blah, blah, blah. However, check this out. He also David Koch said this of George W. Bush. He said, of Iraq, boy, that cost a lot of money. It's taken so many American lives. I question whether that was the right thing to do. In hindsight, that looks like it was not good policy.
Wow.
And Charles Koch asserted Bush's fiscally reckless stewardship created a popular backlash, asserting what he did led to the current administration. Hey, Chris, we could get some of that Koch money. I'll just do a whole hour Bush bashing, and I'll just say this hour brought to you by the Koch brothers.
Even a stop clock is right twice a day.
I'd like a little of that. I'd like to be a Coke sucker. I would be a Coke whore if I were offered the opportunity. This hour of Bush brushing, brought to you by the
Make
Koch
sure
brothers.
Make sure you have the spelling right.
Yes.
Indeed. Koch. Indeed. Hey, we've been having a fight this morning, all morning long. Check this out. There was a fight. Hal Sparks filled in for us last week. Did an amazing job, I'm told, as always. There was a fight at a Hal Sparks concert in Las Vegas last week. He made celebrity sacks back.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Cops called after rocker Vince Neil involved in domestic dispute at Hal Sparks concert in Las Vegas.
Wow.
A battery report was filed against Vince Neil in Las Vegas after an altercation with his ex-girlfriend. Sources tell TMZ Neil's ex was at a Hal Sparks concert. And I'm guessing the fight was probably over. Hal Sparks. Because he's so cute and dreamy. And he's like, what are you doing here? And she's probably like, because he's really cute. he stormed in and started screaming obscenities at her and her two friends, and the woman told the police that Neil got physical with her and one of her friends.
Wow.
It'd be interesting if he got physical with Hal, because he's got three black belts.
Yes, Hal does. I'm sure
I have three different black belts. Which one would you like me to use on you?
He does. He's scrappy. Hard as people. Speaking of which, Jim, this may be the weirdest headline we've ever had in Celebrity Stack. Steven Seagal busts alleged Arizona cockfighting ring.
Wow.
What?
What?
Steven Seagal, he's standing up for cocks.
Fighting cocks.
Yes. In Arizona, it takes a tank, the SWAT team, and Steven Seagal to bust an alleged cockfighting ring. He's been filming the third season of his A&E show Lawmen in Arizona after teaming up with, what's his name, the sheriff, Joe Arpaio.
Arpaio.
Seagal and his film crew have been given complete access to police operations as a fully fledged sheriff's deputy.
He carries a gun and everything.
Yeah, Seagal helps, I bust cockfighting rings and such. Okay. I don't know. Could he take care of Vince Neil? I'm guessing he could.
I bet he could.
Mm. Speaking of Dick Cheney, he will be the subject of an HBO miniseries. CNN reports the project.
Oh, I thought it was going to say an investigation or a bringing of charges.
One
no.
can only hope.
Oh,
but no.
Shoot.
Confused says no.
Sorry.
Is Sean Penn going to play him too?
No. It'll be based on the Frontline documentary about Cheney, The Dark Side, along with the book.
The Dark Side.
Yeah, exactly.
I sense a disturbance in the force. Where's my coffee cup when I need
it? We weren't prepared for that. Also, HBO doing a Game Change, the movie of the last election. Woody Harrelson's going to play the campaign manager. Ed Harris is John McCain. Julianne Moore as Sarah Palin.
Ooh.
I think you'd be a much better Sarah Palin.
Oh, she's quite good.
Julianne Moore,
yeah.
Yeah, but you do a better Sarah Palin. They clamor for you to do Sarah Palin masterpiece. We don't have anything ready for you today.
It's all right. Next time.
All right. Wow. Do you ever read the Hot Property out here in the LA Times? My favorite. This isn't from there, but it's. There's a mystery landowner has a plan to build an 85,000 square foot compound in Hollywood Hills.
Wow.
Same neighborhood that Bruce Springsteen, Jay Leno, David Beckham live in. It's 90210. That's not Hollywood Hills. That's Beverly Hills.
That's Beverly Hills. Yeah.
The proposed mega mansion it's not like the one house is 85,000 square feet, so it's not ostentatious.
compound.
It'll be a compound of
43,000 square foot main house, so it's not that big. A double-winged Suns villa of more than 27,000 square feet.
Mm.
That's the Suns villa.
And 147 bathrooms.
4,000 square foot guest house, 5,000 square foot staff quarters, 3,000 square foot gatehouse.
A 4,000 square foot guest house?
Yes.
Wow.
4,400.
For very large guests.
The owner's identity is being kept a secret. There are indications he could be a member of the Saudi royal family, however. They think Saudi King Abdullah is one of his sons. Residents of the Benedict Canyon neighborhood, including Michael Ovitz, organized a campaign to block the big mansion. However, Ovitz himself once proposed a 28,000 square foot mega mansion,
gosh,
which also generated opposition. That home ultimately was built. But that's not 28,000.
That's
a
nothing.
Shack in Beverly Hills. That's not ostentatious. Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas.
So 85,000 square feet. That's going up.
Well, they keep their families close, so they would have, you know, multiple
sure.
generations living there.
Does he have his own landing strip there?
Sure, I'm sure.
I bet he could.
Edie, you've been delightful as always.
Is it over already?
Indeed it is.
Oh.
Don't forget tomorrow, Charlie Pierce and Joanne Kloppenburg, who's running for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. Don't miss it. 58 minutes after the hour, I'd like to thank Chris Lloyd, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They love each other.